Want to connect with a family member who doesn't speak your language? Then check out the language learning program Rosetta Stone on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone is designed to immerse you in the language you're learning through an intuitive process. Plus, the True Accent feature even gives you feedback on your pronunciation. And with a lifetime membership, you have access to all 25 offered languages. Get started today. Visit rosettastone.com/pod50 to get 50% off your lifetime membership now. That's rosettastone.com/pod50 for 50% off.
Hi, I'm Eric.
And I'm Brittany.
And this is For Colored Nerds,
the weekly show where we peel back the layers of Black culture that we rarely discuss in mixed company.
All right, y'all. So this week, we're doing our yearly intentions, where we reflect on the year that we've had and what we'd like to see from ourselves in the year to come.
It's like a yearly glow up, but in a more mindful way. Stay tuned.
So, Brittany, you know, it's been a while since we've kind of done this, and you started it. So I feel like
you are maybe the
best person to explain why we talk about our intentions and not necessarily resolutions.
Yes. Okay. So new year, new us. A lot of people ask, as you have just now, why do I do New Year's intentions as opposed to New Year's resolutions? I think resolutions, first of all, I want to say they're great. But resolutions to me more so represent a specific outcome or a goal in that sense. Whereas like intentions are a little bit more of the attitude that I want to carry with me throughout the year. So like resolutions represent things that I want to do, but intentions represent how I want to live.
I like that. I like the how I want to live. There are things I want to do too.
Yeah.
But the how I want to live, I recognize, has the biggest impact if we're measuring impact.
That's a very good point. It's true. How you want to live, it also kind of affects how you approach pursuing the goals that you have and like kind of checking those resolutions off the list.
And, you know, for us, I will say I am somebody who is, you know, if you go back to the first time we maybe did this episode or did an intentional episode, you really hear a more crystallized rebuttal, I guess you would say.
You were resistant.
Yeah.
Okay. And yet now you embrace them.
I was going to take a spot and just give you some credit. I got to say, you know, this is a thing that I didn't used to engage, but like as I have kind of come to the side of like the emotionally intelligent, I, you know, recognize it could be a good exercise to forecast, you know, the changes I might want to make to myself about how I approach the living. So thank you. And it's actually worked for me in a couple setting intentions about like doing more stuff for myself. It's been nice. So I guess you've done a positive thing for me, Brittany. Thank you.
I have. And you know what? It wasn't even something that I did specifically for you. I feel just grateful because it's a practice that I just adopted. I think 1 year and a half, they're really having a really tough time, really around my birthday because I'm a Scorpio. So, you know, my birthday at the time of this recording was fairly recent, but I always think about like my birthday as like the preamble to the new year. You know what I'm saying? Because it's only 6 weeks. My birthday comes 6 weeks before the end of the year. But it's something that I just started doing, I think, 1 year when I was feeling like, okay, I don't know if I can accomplish resolutions. Like, I don't know if I can actually get these things done. Like, you know, I think I was turning 25 and I had like this job that was a real rough situation. I didn't really have any pathways out of it at that moment. You know, I was feeling like the things that I wanted to accomplish in my life, I didn't really know how they were going to happen. And I'm not saying accomplish like Mount Rushmore or like recently, you know, cover of the Times art section as we were recently. That wasn't a billboard in Times Square as we had recently. Those things were not, they weren't my goals last year or this year. And they certainly weren't like 9 years ago. But I just realized that like I can't control always the outcome, but I can definitely control my approach to life and my attitude. And so I'm just glad that something that I have done has, you know, affected your life so much in a positive way. I'm very grateful for that. Because when Eric's happy, everybody's happy.
Oh, wow. This is, I wonder,
well, you know what the inverse of that phrase is.
Yeah, I was about to say, what is true is when I am unhappy, everybody else is unhappy. But yes. I hear you. So let's get to the getting to. So my first intention is actually a fairly straightforward one, I guess. I really desperately need to, figure out my daily wardrobe.
So
a bit of backstory. You know, as you might have heard us mention a couple of times, in 2020, we hosted a Quibi show, like a TV show, for lack of a better word. It's like streaming, if you want to get specific. Mm-hmm. And that show was a trap because we were very lucky enough to have an amazing wardrobe consulting stylist.
Pamela Shepherd.
Shout out.
Look her up, because Google her and do her resume, because Pamela is on fire, okay?
Skilled.
She hooked us up.
And so, like, those days, initially when we were doing that, we had nice clothes to wear mm-hmm. for, like, a majority of the day. And mm-hmm. then even when we switched to shooting at home, they would mm-hmm. send us some stuff to wear on camera. We had to send it back, most of it, but, like, you know, for what it's worth, it wasn't as urgent to think about what I might wear on a given day.
Mm.
So Quibi dies, okay? There's no better way to say it, but Quibi, like,
swift death.
Bites the dust. And basically, we had all this, like, great advice, and then somebody actually, like, acting on that advice for us to send us clothes. Mm-hmm. And I realized after we were done, I had all these great, like, going out clothes, if that makes any sense. Like, the stuff that was left over was the stuff you might wear to, like, a party or a club or, like, a
place you frequent.
Yeah, exactly. The place I'm at every fucking day. But I didn't have any, like, get up wear on a Zoom clothes. Or I don't have much in that. Like, my, like, t-shirts, just general, a sweater I might wear around the house, all of those are, like, threadbare and, like, you know, stained to high hell and just, like, ridiculous look. I just look unkempt often. And that's not good.
You don't look that bad. I see you on Zoom like a few days a week. You look normal.
Thank you. It's not a filter, but, like, you only see me like a certain size each day, and the compression that happens like obscures a lot of what you're actually seeing. I look rougher in person than I do on this thing. But I appreciate that you're saying I look all right. But anyway, I need to find what my new, like, daily uniform is. Like, you know, back in the day, I used to wear a powder blue button down, you know, and maybe some khakis or, like, you know, some slim fitting jeans, some chinos. I was a big chino guy. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what that is now. I, like, you know, everything can't be Ame. I have a lot of Ame Leon Dore.
A lot? Are you keeping the man in business? Be honest. Tell the truth. I mean, we're at the red table. We're back at the red table now. Be honest.
No, I mean, where I like to support people who do good things, and, like, they make a lot of clothes that I like. And so I buy a lot of stuff from there, but, like, that's something I want to wear when I'm, like, going somewhere. It's not just, like, what I wear around when I'm working at home or, like, just around the lot. My intention is to, like, make that more of a thing for me. And, like, okay, well, you know, in this stage, like, what type of pants do I like? I realize I'm not a person who's ever going to wear, like, jeans around my house.
Yeah.
It feels weird.
Yeah,
but I don't mind wearing khakis. So I'm like, what types of khakis do I want to wear? Like, what, you know, it just feels a little more approachable. So I want to think through, like, what is my daily uniform? What is my, like, what's the lady from Theranos? What is my Elizabeth Holmes? And I think she based hers off Steve Jobs. But, like,
yeah, I was going to say, Elizabeth Holmes, she was looking rough. I don't know how she grifted all those people, because she was not, the style was not point. But Steve Jobs, I think you could definitely do, like, a styled up.
I want to level up, and I want to just, like, do better than a lot of times when I'm thinking of everyday style, I think of, like, just Uniqlo and Gap. Like, those are the things that kind of come to mind, but I want to, like, do some reassessing, find some new brands, do some research, but, like, have a bit of the reset while, you know, of, like, who I am on, like, Monday through Friday from 8 to, like, 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
And I want to get to know that guy. That's my intention. It's straightforward. I want to be fresh. I just want to be little fresher.
In some way, shape, or form, like, what you're describing is, like, you had a uniform that was for a specific job. And many people who wore suits, or teachers who might still be teaching remotely or something like that, they have specific dress codes. But, like, you know, now you had a specific uniform for a specific purpose, and now you have to sort of uncover who is Eric. And also, too, now you have this, like, job. Where, I don't know, I guess men's clothes are a little bit more consistent, but I think you still might be thinking about, like, how can I communicate via Zoom that I am, like, an executive?
No, yeah. And but also still like feel like me. You know what I'm saying? Like, if that makes any sense, like, you know, I mean, I'm never going to be in a suit. Although I like suits, but I wouldn't be on a Zoom. And, you know what I'm saying? Like in a suit. So I need to figure out what like my relaxed working everyday vibe is. And I'm excited to kind of like, I don't know, I'm excited to get to know that, like that person a little bit, to, you know, to your point. It's just like, it's time to come back to me. It's time to come back to me.
Well, if anybody wants to give Eric or me free clothes, let us know.
Yes.
Let us know.
Or just make recommendations. Okay, so here's the thing with the recommendations, real quick, and then we can, I would love to.
Uh-huh.
Everybody will send me the like tech pants brands, like the
pants. You mean like, the pants, like the kind that are like really washable and you can like do the splits in them, but you can wear them to work.
So that's not, yeah, exactly. And like a lot of those don't look good. Like people don't recognize, they just look like shinier khakis.
Mm-hmm.
I want to wear regular clothes. I just want people who want to like send me regular clothes that don't need to do my taxes. I just want to say like that, because a lot of men's clothing recommendations is like, it can do this and it could do that and it could do this and it could do that. I don't need that. I just want shirts, sweaters, pants that look good. Anyway, that's
so Eric needs recommendations. I'm also saying for the both of us, if you want to send us any free clothes, let us know.
Absolutely.
Maybe we'll wear them on the show.
And you can see it, you know? Yeah. I would love that. I can't wait. We can say, like, as I'm talking, I'm wearing Ame right now. Like, I can just kind of narrate it.
I should actually be like, as I'm talking, I should just, like, I could start lying, too. We do that.
Yeah.
I could start lying. And then people will be like, damn, she's sponsored by Gucci?
This Birkin. I got a Birkin, a Birkin bag sitting on my desk right now.
Hermes? What?
Hey.
Like, yeah, Oprah. Huh? How you like them apples?
All right. So it's now your turn. I've told you, you know, how I want to get fresh to death from my Zoom calls. But I'm curious, like, what you want to do?
Well, my first intention that I'm going to share with you today is to stop questioning my gifts. So when I say stop questioning my gifts, what I mean is that, like, I think I have made the erroneous assumption that many people make, which is that if I find something less difficult than other people, it is not luck or it's just not that hard. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe I am good at something or gifted at something. Or maybe I've worked hard to learn a skill. And I've discovered this year that, like, just how wrong about that I think that I've been. As Eric mentioned, we did have a show in 2020 with Quibi. Quibi ended unceremoniously in October of 2020. And then we were kind of like in career limbo, kind of figuring out for a long time, like, what was going to happen.
What the hell's going on?
Yeah. It's just like, I felt a little unmoored. Not because I don't like time off from work. I love time off from work. I know some people, it's very cute and fashionable to be like, I love to work. I can't imagine myself not working. And it's like, no. I love to enjoy myself. And so it's very easy for me to imagine taking a break from working. The issue with that was that I started working at Gimlet, you know, 2015. I had never worked in podcasting or really in a professional sense. I had not worked in media before. I had not worked in radio before. And so then, you know, we had the Quibi show and I had not worked in television before. You know, I'm like, well, what job comes after these?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? It was just hard for me to imagine what came after what I had already done, except for more of the same. And this past year, I've had so many opportunities as far as freelancing is concerned to be able to sort of like spread my wings a little bit. Like I've been able to do, you know, a lot of the same stuff. Obviously, we have a podcast again. We relaunched a podcast. We relaunched for Colored Nerds. And so obviously I'm doing podcasting. I hosted a branded podcast for YouTube earlier this fall. I'm working on another branded podcast, TBD, the details on that I'm really excited about with a brand that I love. I'm really excited about. But all these opportunities that I'd gotten work-wise this past year have come from other people. I feel so fortunate. Like other people. I mean, we wanted to relaunch for Colored Nerds, but even like with that, Stitcher was pretty confident in pursuing us to be able to do this. But I've been able to edit other podcasts. There's jobs that I was really interested in that I had to turn down because of other details that didn't work out. But all those things came from other people. And I had this moment earlier this fall where I was speaking with a career coach. Mm-hmm. And one of the problems that I came to her with was, you know, people keep giving me work and I don't understand why. And she was like, okay, but like, actually, no. First of all, I told my therapist was like, I don't think you need to be thinking about this hard. You just need to say yes to the work and get paid and keep going on about your life. But it was so hard for me to believe that people, what to me felt like sight unseen, would be reaching out to me cold, like on Twitter and stuff like that. I'm going to get a website. I'm going to get it together. I promise. I'm going to stop living like a savage. I'm going to get a website. And would just like present me with things that were cool or interesting or, you know, that I hadn't thought that I could do before. And the career coach was great. She like had me do this exercise where I asked a few people who I'd work with why they thought of me for the opportunity or why they want, like what they enjoyed about working with me. And it was interesting because they gave a lot of similar feedback, but it also like, it really opened my eyes to the idea that a lot of things that I think sort of come naturally to me or that I think aren't that big of a deal are actually really impactful to other people. Mm. And that if I find myself being successful at something or doing well at something, or even like if it's a challenge and it's hard, like when I wrote that piece about passing at Mariah Carey, that was a needle to thread, baby. That was hard, but I enjoyed it. And the response to it has been really positive. And writing an essay about like 8 books is not something that I had done before. And it's not something that people were necessarily begging me to do 3 or 4 years ago. And also, as you know, as we've mentioned everywhere, including the New York Times, we were in a work situation for a long time where we were constantly being questioned. I was being questioned a lot. I was really internalizing a lot of feedback from other people who maybe just didn't see what I was seeing. But I felt like, because they had a certain amount of authority or a certain amount of experience, that they must be right. And even when I left the environment, I was still sort of carrying that questioning, except now it was me questioning myself. Damn. So I learned, like through freelancing this past year, I have received a level of respect from the people that I've been working with that I haven't quite experienced before. I don't mean to say that we had wonderful teams of people who we work with, I think, on a very one-to-one basis, like our actual producers, editors, people like that. I had good experiences with, but just like in the grander sense, being able to be so supported and have people like seek me out and really take what I'm saying really seriously without questioning me has been so interesting. It's been really wonderful. And I realized that, like, you know, I need to stop looking gift horses in the mouth. Instead of sort of like questioning why something is happening, I should be a little bit more ready to just accept the fact that like maybe I'm good at something or maybe I'm not good at something yet, but a person who wants to give me an opportunity sees something in me that they think, you know, could be developed and that that's okay too. Yeah. So that's what I'm going to try to do in the coming years, just to like embrace that. As opposed to, you know, and sort of like let the questioning stay in the past with the bozos who dare to question me.
One, I think, for what it's worth, I think we both do a version of this. I think you are particularly good at it. But I think just in terms of like, the other thing that I'll say about this thing that I think we sometimes do, or like almost like, how did this good thing happen to me? Like, what?
Yeah.
It's there's like a bit of shock and like indignation that like something positive has like popped up into our lives. It makes me actually curious about like a step that maybe comes before this. And I'm curious if you feel like you have a good enough handle on like how to recognize your gifts, maybe even before you start questioning them, you know?
I mean, no, I don't.
Yeah, like, I think it's because, like, a lot of times, like, for me, I'm like, oh, you've told me I'm good at this thing? Like, I had not rationalized that before, so I'm like, that must not be true, and I need to attack it. And it was just, I don't know, it's just interesting. I'm more so, like, I'm hearing this for you. I'm like, oh, that sounds great. And I'm also just like, damn, I need to maybe start a version before that, or it's just like, what do I consider my gifts? And my strengths. I know that seems so basic, but...
No, I mean, it's hard to think. I think that a lot of times, I mean, if you think about like feedback, right? You know what I'm saying? Well, we're taught to seek out feedback at work and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Feedback is typically like, where are you fucking up? Where am I fucking up? Like, where do I need to improve? And it's interesting because like that, the expected type of feedback, and that's usually the most impactful in the moment. Yeah. Like if somebody's really fucking up, they do need to know. But people are so bad at giving negative feedback is actually, now that I think about it, it's not surprising that we wouldn't be primed to seek out positive feedback and understand like how that lines up with what we might consider our gifts. But I think it's probably also just a healthier way to probably go about working rather than,
yeah,
you know what I mean? What I've been doing the past however many years.
One, as someone who's worked with you, I absolutely think it'd be better for probably the both of us to engage that exercise. But I also, I'm curious, like, what do you think is more available to you if you stop questioning your gifts? Like, what's on the other side?
I'm glad you asked that. It's a question that I always, whenever I find myself at a place of resistance, seriously, and I feel sort of like I'm dragging my feet on something or I'm not really following through on something, having a hard time, I think, accepting something positive, I ask myself sort of like, well, what am I so freaked out by that's on the other side of that? I think it's like more opportunities to do things that are exciting to me but feel scary. Like going back even to the passing essay, like that was something that I had had, and I was looking through like, I don't know, like an old notepad or whatever. And I had had the idea for that last September. I had written it down. And I think I wrote down like, I wrote down the idea and then I wrote down asking myself, this is provocative, but is it good? Like, it's like, damn, bitch, you can't even just like hold an idea in your head for 10 minutes without poking holes in it. But yeah, I think that like that was an idea that like one of my editors that I had for that piece, Melvin Backman at New York Magazine, he's awesome. He had reached out just to be like, hey, do you have any ideas? And I sent him 10 and that was one of them. And that was the one I really didn't want to send. But I was like, okay, I'll send it. And then I was like, I hope he doesn't like that one. And he was like, this is the one that we like. You should write about this. I actually called him and my other editor, Madeline Lung Coleman, up. And I was like, hey, I'm actually not going to write this. Thank you for your time. I'm not going to do this. And they were like, no, you got to do it. I had so many doubts over the process of doing that. But I think that like I had been confusing doubts with like that gut feeling that something is wrong. I think that on the other side of like accepting that is going to be more opportunities that actually scare me, are really gratifying, grow me a lot, but also make me have doubts. And I think I'm scared of feeling that feeling of fear again.
You're afraid that the doubts become actual reasons to not do a thing versus just like a doubt. Now I hear that. Yeah, that's really, I'm sorry, I'm marinating on this. I'm like, I might need to pull this into my own life. But your intention actually feels like it relates at least a little bit to where I want to go to next with my next intention. But before we do that, we should take a break. So we're going to do that.
Want to connect with a family member who doesn't speak your language? Then check out the language learning program Rosetta Stone on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone is designed to immerse you in the language you're learning through an intuitive process. Plus, the True Accent feature even gives you feedback on your pronunciation. And with a lifetime membership, you have access to all 25 offered languages. Get started today. Visit rosettastone.com/pod50 to get 50% off your lifetime membership now. That's rosettastone.com/pod50 for 50% off.
Welcome back.
Yes, welcome back.
Okay, so I've shared my first intention, and you said that that was connected to your second intention. So I want to know, what is it? You got me, you've had me waiting through all these ads on the edge of my seat.
So funny enough, and this is something I'm still working through, but I feel like I just got to the point where I can like crystallize it. So this is like fresh off the therapy plate, you know, Eric, in terms of like wading into my thoughts and feelings. So you're getting this unfiltered.
Unplugged.
But my intention is to accept that where I am is where I want to be. And I know that sounds very, I don't know, it sounds maybe more cryptic than I mean it, but I think it's maybe best explained through like a situation that we actually both shared recently. You know, when we relaunched the show, we had a lot of really great, exciting kind of energy around the show. And just people being like, welcome back. It's great that you're back. And I'm like, thank you. It feels great. And then also there's like the work that we're doing just to like inform people about the show. And as a part of that like marketing work, we're on a fucking billboard in Times Square, which I am still trying to like wrap my head around of like that as a thing that involved me, you know? But I actually really struggled with the billboard. I think I mentioned this to you a little bit. You were always like, I don't know about that. I feel great. But but I mentioned to you that that like the idea of the billboard, I struggled with a little bit. And it wasn't until kind of thinking about it in hindsight, like after, you know, it already passed, I think it clicked. And for me, I think thinking about myself and my relationship to success and like where I would be in life when my face could possibly be on a billboard was different. And not to say that like my life is actually pretty great right now. I can't complain. I'm not complaining. I'm saying life is good. And I recognize that. But I thought that I would be like that when I'm getting to this point, when I'm hitting these types of markers, I thought that my own like personal fulfillment might be a little better, if that makes any sense. Like I'm thinking like the type of person who's also got it figured out enough in their career that he's on a billboard also is like better at like planning like a week with a family life, you know, is maybe better at like, has maybe saved a bit more for retirement, you know, has like done all these things. I know.
But, I'm like, don't bring up the R word. We'll leave that to today's episode.
I'm just saying like, I didn't realize how much I had coupled career success with personal fulfillment and happiness. And those things were so connected that when I'm like, when I was looking at the billboard and like thinking about where I am, if there was a disconnect that almost made me unable to enjoy the billboard, the fact that like, you know, my face, which I think is beautiful, is like as big as it's ever been, you know, in front of me right now. That's amazing. And I struggled to like accept that. And so I think my therapist helped me really to work out is that so much of how I have operated is like, once I get to a certain amount of career success, I immediately shifted up the fulfillment that I would hope that might be with it. And I shifted it up to whatever that next ladder was in like what we wanted to achieve for our career. And so like, you know, I found myself, even when we were thinking about this, I was like, oh, well, you know, I might feel a little better once I, it's not when we get the billboard, but it's like when, you know, I don't know, we're writing a like an anthology of the show or something. You know, I'm just making stuff up. But, you know, like I would put it somewhere else and I recognize I need to stop that. Like I need, like I am actually where I want to be. I have a, I'm in the period where I'm accomplishing things that I just could not have plan for. And I need to focus more on sitting in that and like understanding that like just because I've gotten to this new threshold, I am somewhat the same. And that those two things are now like more definitively separate. And like I need to be working on like even cultivating them separately. That was a moment. That was like a breakthrough for me. So yeah, I want to accept more that I am where I want to be and focus more on what that means for like how I should be focusing on my own happiness right now and today.
I think that's really healthy. I mean, that was a very unique experience.
Yes.
I mean, it was. It was a very unique experience. I went 5 times. After the day you and I went together, like at this point, it was last Wednesday. I went back again. I went uptown to do something. I walked back downtown. I was like, you know what? This is not happening again. Let me just go look at it one more time before, you know, it goes away on Thanksgiving. And it was overwhelming. I mean, I think I chose to see it as positive, but I'd be lying if I said that like the whole totality of the media rollout, which was overall exceedingly positive, was still like tricky. I mean, I felt at times the billboard, I think, I at least looked at the photo and I was like, well, that's me. So I look like myself. I don't look strange. You know what I mean? Yeah. I was like, at the very least, if I'm here, I can recognize myself and I look as I am. But I kind of felt at times like I was like, well, people are writing articles about us or interviewing us or, you know, whatever. And it's like, you know, you talk to someone for an hour, you talk to someone for 4 hours or whatever, and they only use like 10 of your words or whatever. And I don't understand because we made radio. It's the same thing. Like there's stories I interviewed 14 people for, and I think I only used tape maybe for 4 interviews in the episode. Yeah. And so I totally get it. But I think I went through a thing where I was like, well, is this me? What people are seeing, what they're reading, is this me?
Even what they're celebrating to a degree.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Is that me? And like there's some things that I shared and some things that I didn't share when I was talking to people or whatever. Some things are private and for me. And so I had to kind of go through this thing where I was like, this is a version of me that is for other people, you know, and that's okay. And I think that even as we've continued to do the show, I think that I've felt that. And even, you know, hearing what you just said right now, as we've been very fortunate to achieve different markers of success over the years, you have kind of had that reaction that you're sharing. I think maybe the billboard maybe made it more obvious to you.
Yeah.
But what you shared with me is actually just now is something that, like, you know, has kind of echoed throughout the past. It's weird. It's hard. It's like, you know, when you put your work out there the way that we do, it's us, but it's not us.
Yeah. There's some distance.
And it's hard. It's hard to kind of keep those two things separate. You know, I think what you're saying that you want to do is really healthy. And it's probably going to also, like, get you to at once, like, accept the positivity of this, but also not take it for granted, if that makes sense. Like, understanding that, like, this is an amazing thing. And it feels like something, like, feels like you've arrived somewhere, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But also, like, maybe it doesn't happen again. You know what I mean? Maybe nothing like this happens ever again. And that, like, at least you can enjoy it, like, enjoy the fact that it happened for what it is. Because, I mean, as a person, you deserve to be to celebrate your success, even if, like, the success doesn't look like what you thought. But I wonder, like, what are you going to change, like, in your day-to-day life? What does that look like, accepting that type of thing?
I rush things. Actually, let me be more specific. I rush happiness.
What is that?
And so, like, when we went to the billboard, we took Eve, you know, my mother-in-law came, and obviously, you know, my wife Jasmine was there, and, like, we got there, she saw it, took the picture, and I was immediately like, okay, we have to go. Like, I was kind of like, and then we needed to, like, we realized that, like, oh, we actually needed another round, so let's, like, because it, you know.
The billboard comes up, it came up for, like, 30 seconds every 12 minutes. My ass was out there for, like, 30, 40 minutes, hour and a half.
But yeah, like I was just like, and so we waited a little bit for the picture to come up again and we took a picture. And then I was like, okay, now we've done it. We have to go. Like before the ad has even like left the screen, I was just kind of like already pushing it to kind of get to the next thing. And I don't know why I was doing that, you know? And I look, and to your point, like most positive things that have happened, I'm like, oh, well, what's the other thing I could be taking care of and to push through beyond this thing? And so, like, I want to sit in the happiness a bit more. I want to not rush those moments and, like, force myself to kind of just sit in, like, no, there's a good thing happening. Yes, I am at the center of it. That is also good. And I'm just going to be in that space. It doesn't have to mean anything about the future. It doesn't have to mean anything, you know, it just means I have received a thing that I've worked for. And that's the biggest thing. That's the biggest thing.
I think that's crazy. I'm excited to see how you plan to do that, like how it's going to unfold over the next year, you not rushing happiness.
Me too. I'm probably going to have to hold myself accountable to this, but very much.
But that's why we are recording this. That's why we're sharing the intentions.
Absolutely. All right. So, I mean, you get to bring us home. Brittany, what is your last intention? How is that going to top what I'm doing? It can't really. Maybe you should just not share.
Well, I mean, I would say that I'm going to try, but I'm like, do I need to try? You know, even? Do I even need to try? My last intention is that I'm going to trust the timing of my life. So recently I turned 34 and
dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, which is like fine. I don't feel any type of way about sort of like age, but it was the first age, like to me, 27 to 33, every year I turned age, I was like, oh, same as last year. Same. Like I thought they were all the same. I didn't feel anything when I turned 30, 31, 32, 33. I would also say probably because 33 was celebrated in a pandemic. And so 32 and 33 kind of ran together as one long year. I think a lot of people have probably experienced that in the pandemic. But 34 is like the first year that I saw the number and I was like, what the fuck? Where the fuck did the time go? Like I used to kind of be like, I still do. Don't get it twisted. Resent when my family members ask me when I'm going to have a baby or try to, you know, whatever. I cannot stand that shit. And they know it and they do it anyway. So if you're listening, I love you, but stop. But you're going to do it anyway. So who cares? But like that's the first year I looked at my age and I was like, damn, they're not fully wrong. Like that, I'm not like 23 or to me 27, which is like child age in my mind. I was like, I didn't have it together enough to be taking care of no baby at 27. or really at 34. But I have, that's like, I realized that time had passed and that I was like, oh, I'm solidly an adult. Mid-30s. It's mm-hmm. real.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel old, but I just was like, my young life is behind me. And I feel good about that because I spent it well.
Yeah.
But I did start to sort of expedite this worry that I don't have enough time. Mm. It could be a birthday thing. It could be like a feminine aging thing. Mm. Because like, even if I don't feel it like as like a, I don't take it on as a personal belief, it doesn't mean that like the world is different yeah. than how it is.
Yeah.
I had a meeting recently where somebody asked me how old I was, which was interesting.
Like a work meeting? I was like, isn't that illegal?
It wasn't like a, it was like an informal okay. chat. All but right, it cool. was something that I was just like, and I don't think this person meant anything by it.
No,
like,
no, I wasn't trying to get them jammed up. Yeah, I was yeah. just more so like, hey, ain't that a thing that's still not okay?
Yeah, no, it wasn't like professional, but it was like, you know, it was a chat. And, but yeah, somebody was like, they're like, how old are you, by the way? And it was like one of those things where, like I said, I don't think they meant anything by it, but I was just like, damn, like, well, what if, does my answer mean something? You know, I don't know. Like, does my answer mean something? And also too, you know, mid-30s woman. You know, as I mentioned earlier, everyone's always asking me in my family when I'm going to have a baby. And I do intend on becoming a mother in some way mm-hmm. at some point in the next decade. I don't need okay. y'all for my business. So that's all you're going to get. At some point in the next decade, I will have a child mm-hmm. some way. But I think that I have come to an acceptance recently that I do want to become a parent. And motherhood is not easy. And it is intense and all-consuming and expected to be all-consuming in a way that fatherhood does not really. Yeah. It feels like this big unknown that people are always telling you, you're never going to sleep again. Nothing's ever going to be the same. You're never going to be able to piss by yourself alone again. Like, you know what I mean? Like, no one's ever going to not be touching you ever again. And I mean, yeah. I'm 34. Do I still try to sit in my mom's lap? I do. I do.
That's
so I'm also like, damn, like, should I have given her some space? Like, I'm feeling guilt. I also still have a bunch of stuff in my career that I really want to do. Like I said, this past year, I've been able to try so many things I never imagined I would be able to do. Even podcast editing, which in hindsight, I'm like, you really thought you was never going to edit a podcast. But I mean, you know, I worked somewhere for a long time where the thought, you know,
really
I felt like I needed a damn.
Who could do that? Yeah.
Exactly. Like. Exactly. I felt like if I had mentioned that was something that I wanted to do, I would have been laughed at by some people. And yeah, I've kind of realized like, oh, there's so many more things that I want to try and so many ways that I want to grow. And I can look at other people in my life who have children, other mothers, and I can see that like, I don't think that they're old. I don't think that they're running out of time. I don't think that there's anything that they're being prevented from in any real material way outside of the normal sexist bullshit, you know, obviously. Yeah. But I have been feeling this like I don't know, like the breath of time on my neck. And I realized that I only think of that running out of time thing as a problem for me. One of my siblings just had a milestone birthday and I think of her as very young. She's older than I am. And I think, I'm like, oh, it's the beginning of everything. And, you know, she has a kid and I'm still like, you know, I see her doing it and I'm still thinking like, but it's not going to work out that way for me. Mm. And so I realized that like, okay, I'm being a little defeatist, being a little dramatic, and that maybe what I can think, instead of thinking that my experience maybe becoming a parent or I don't know, like kind of trying to try out other aspects of, you know, my career as I'm in my mid-30s, which is still young. I understand that on paper. I understand it. I think that what I'm going to try to do is like, if I see other people in my life who are having their own experiences and career detours and like rebirths, I mean, my mother, I don't want to age her, but it's the truth. My mother's in her late 60s and she's like, recently become obsessed with getting a dog, okay? Mm. And my mom is not a dog person, but she's been sending me photos of this dog that she wants and talking about it nonstop for like 3 weeks. And so I'm like, well, you know, she's changing, you know what yeah. I mean? In her late 60s, like it's, people change. And like, and that like, I don't need to have everything happen right now. And that I can trust that like, things are gonna unfold in my life in the way that they're meant to. And yeah. that I can't be so afraid of change that I only think about it negatively, as you know, in terms of what I'm going to lose, as opposed to what I could gain or what I've already done. Like, I was recently feeling like, oh, I'm, you know, I've been working on screenwriting. Watch out. But I've been working on it. And I was in the shower this morning and I was like, I don't know. I was thinking about somebody else who's doing great at that. Not in a hateful way, in a wonderful way. But I was also just like, and you know how people can be. I don't want people to take my shit out of context. But I was just like, damn, like, I don't know if I'll ever be able to do that. And I was like, well, bitch, your face was on Times Square billboard. Like,
how you do it?
Was that something that that's something I didn't even know to want. Like, it didn't even occur to me. So I'm trying to just, like, you know, a year ago, you know what I'm saying? We were unemployed. No way around it. And 9 months ago, we were, I know I was crying and shit every day because these people on Twitter was going ham because of all this fucking podcast race meltdown. You know what I'm saying? We've already discussed it. It's, if you Google it, if you really want to know. But, like, that shit was a mess and it brought back a lot of bad memories. And I'm just like, okay, 9 months later from that, you know what I'm saying? It's billboard, Times Square, cover of the New York Times art section. Like, positive things have happened in my life and I can't predict or control the other stuff that is to come. And I just need to trust that the timing of things is going to be okay.
For what it's worth, this is one that, I mean, it actually relates a little even to where I like what I just said, like in terms of, like, you know, getting to a spot and being like, oh, this is right. This is right. That's all it has to be, is right for right now, for where I am, for what's happening. Honestly, I think it's really helpful for you. I think you illustrated, like, a lot of the things that, you know, you still see, like, in your future or that, you know, you hope are coming. And but even as it relates to kind of kids, it's always been funny to hear you talk about it in proximity to me, especially just because I literally have had a whole child for 6 years right beside you. But, you know, I understand there's, like, differences in terms of how that will manifest for, like, our respective lives. But the thing that I think more so that I hear in how you talk about some of this is, like, it's getting more comfortable that, like, things are going to happen when they're supposed to happen. But also, I think, for me, it was getting more comfortable that there are some things that are going to now have to happen at the same time. That, like, I'm going to have to engage creating the career I want at the same time as I am parenting, at the same time as I might be engaging some of these other larger decisions. And that, I think, is something that is hard for, one, just how intentional I know we both like to be about the decisions we make when we feel like we're ready to make a decision, and, like, you know, even just being able to live with that once we've done it. And I think, like, you know, it's trusting that some things happening all at the same time is also right, that you're also ready for that.
Yeah, I'm getting, I mean, but you know what though, also turning 34 made me be like, when I be reading the newspaper, people have kids, you know, People Magazine, they always used to post a person's age. Like, this celebrity had a baby this week. They're however old. That's how I always imagine. That's how I thought about me being old enough to have a child. I'm like, am I an age that if I saw it, I'd be like, yeah, it's about time.
Right.
Yeah. And 34 was that year. I think it caused me to actually think more critically about the thing that you just mentioned, which is that, like, it's caused me to reflect a little bit more and realize that, like, okay, even though 27 and 33 all to 33 all felt like the same age to me, my life has moved on. I have matured. Yeah. And I have some of the, I do not have enough retirement savings to have a child. I'll be honest with you.
Does, like, anyone?
I mean, this child.
Anyone,
if I'm
except
still
for those, like, 5
80,
YouTubers who've already retired and they're like 26.
I know, we picked the wrong medium, honestly. We should have been, we should have had our asses on YouTube. Honestly. It's I'm true. Kidding. I love Stitcher. But it's caused me to kind of realize, okay, like, some things can happen at the same time. And even though I'm not sure that you can take Adderall while pregnant, I'm sorry in advance, I have grown and expanded to probably be able to accommodate the simultaneous stuff of working and having a child. I mean, also, many people do it.
A couple. Just
many
yeah.
people do it. I two. It's again. Yeah. So I need to, I'm going to try to stop, you know, being dramatic and personalizing it. And, like, it's going to be this terrible thing. It's fine for everyone else. And it's terrible for me specifically. So we're not going to do that anymore.
I think that's good. I'm excited to hear more of that. Because it's a thing I hear you do anecdotally a lot. Like, be like, well, when this happens, or I gotta, I'm a, if I'm a, if I'm going to eventually do this, you know, I need to start doing this right now so I can be ready to do that. And I'm just,
well,
yeah, just like also,
I do need to start. It was something I found out for those of you who can get pregnant in New York State who are freelancers. If you want to get the state paid parental leave for a birthing parent, you need to pay into it for 12 months before you conceive. Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. deep. Yeah.
It is deep. I know. Our country is real fucked up.
So
that is part of my issue. But
you should take
you're
those
right.
steps. But other than that, I don't think that's always what you mean. And so I'm just going to say I recognize what you're saying. And yes, there are some things you have to plan for. But I also support just in general trusting that like the time is going to work out the way it is supposed to. Okay. I'm feeling real zen today. I'm just barely. We need to record more often when I'm like 4 hours out of my therapy session. Cause I'm curious like how different the show would be. No conflict.
I'm curious too. I'm like how different. I was gonna say how different would my life be, but no. We still be working together on the days you don't have therapy. I mean, I haven't had therapy in almost 2 weeks. I'm hanging on by a thread. But this is it. These are our 2022 intentions. I'm really curious to hear what everybody thinks about them. And I'm also really more curious to hear about what everybody else's intentions are.
Yeah. How are you thinking about how you want to live next year? For what it's worth, we're very interested in that. We would love to know. Please share it with us at For Color Nerds on Twitter or at For Color Nerds on Instagram.
So we are recording this episode at what is nearing the end of the year. And I believe that you will be hearing it at the top of 2022. So all that being said, we hope that you have had a really wonderful, love-filled holiday season if you celebrate any of the holidays that are happening at the end of December. We hope you had some time off of work. If, you know, regardless, we hope you had some time off of work. And we just want to say one more time, like we mentioned a couple things that happened this past year that were pretty magnificent, I have to say. Even if we had our own issues personally that we're working out in therapy, to accept them, you know, being able to have some of the opportunities that we've had have been amazing, and we would not have been able to have them without all of you. So thank you so much for listening and supporting us. And we look forward to giving you guys more. I was trying to think about what to say. 365 more black.
Yes, that more hotness, more fire coming in 2022. Did you hear that? Did you love my Jamaican accent? That was great, right?
Oh, God.
That's a thing I should do.
Regular? Don't do it again. Don't. Please don't. I hope you get lit up by all Caribbean.
Deservedly. Deservedly. So.
Deservedly.
For Color Nerds was created by me, Eric Eddings, and Brittany Luce. It's supported by our production team at Stitcher, including producers Alexis Williams, Willis Arnold, and executive producer Camille Stanley. Casey Hofer is our technical director, and Peter Clowney is head of content. Our theme music is by Willie Green. And look, y'all, we love hearing from our listeners. We love y'all so much. So please connect with us and tell us what you thought of this episode. You can reach us on Twitter and Instagram at For Colored Nerds. And never miss an episode by following us on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, or wherever you listen.